All right, what if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that is exactly what you're going to get. They can help you find work in any industry. With just one interview at Express, you have a connection to endless jobs. Whether you want a contract job, a new full-time role, or a summer job, choose Express Employment Professionals. Express has more than 860 locally owned locations and no fees for job seekers. Visit expresspros.com today to find a location near you. Summer is upon us, and whatever you have going on, a vacation, a staycation, a summer wedding, well, Macy's has you covered. If you need summer dresses, matching sets, volume sleeve tops, wedges, straw-crafted bags, I mean, really, they have what you need head to toe. I'm talking Levi's, Dolce Vita, Lacoste, and more. So shop summer must-haves at Macy's. Go to Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. Again, that's Macy's.com/ownyourstyle. Summer, the best time of the year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. Something I for sure love having in my home is super clean countertops. And I love when it smells good too. So you can bring the vacation vibes to your home with coconut scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy with a refreshing scent that'll transform your space into a tropical island retreat and give you a powerful clean. No plane ticket required. Unleash your self-expression with the enchanting coconut fragrance of Clorox Scentiva. You can get yours at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
Life ain't always pretty, but hey, it's pretty beautiful things. Laugh a little more things. Tighten up your core things. Said EK, you're kicking it with four things.
With Amy Brown.
Okay, I've got my friend Stephen Young joining us today. And Stephen's been on the podcast before. He is the founder of Home Street Home here in Nashville, Tennessee. And he shared his story, it was maybe a couple years ago you were on the podcast-ish, why this is his mission in life. And it's because he himself was homeless for 5 years and then came out of that and then realized, okay, this is my calling. And now you're dedicated to helping others and you've written a book and I am so proud of you. And I'm excited to get into more of that. And so people can hear more of your story in case they're a new listener and they didn't ever hear that episode. But just really the impact that you're making on our community. I guess I see it here because I live in Nashville. I just, in my heart, I hope that in every city, there's their own Stephen Young of sorts that is making a difference in people's lives that really, really need it.
Well, I can tell you from the first podcast, which we are still today, almost 2 years later, I'm still getting messages through the website. I listened to you on Amy's podcast. How can we do what you're doing in our hometown?
Oh, I love
so
that.
So several people were encouraged and inspired to want to do something where they live. And that's one of the things that I'm really, really proud of and so feel blessed and fortunate to have done it the first time with you because I realized that the reach went much further than I could ever do physically myself. Our friends here on the streets of Nashville are my passion, but so are the ones in Chicago, Atlanta, you name the city, because this is something that is important to me everywhere.
Well, and I want to share an encouraging post that I saw you put up in hopes to use you again to inspire more listeners across the country, just to remember how far one act of kindness can go. because of Home Street Home, you're out doing these types of things all the time because this is literally your job.
Right.
and because you've chosen that. And, you know, not everybody could do what you're doing, but you do it so well. And I saw you put this up on Instagram. It's an email that you got from a guy named Mitch. And here's what it said. Hey, Stephen, this is Mitch. You might not remember me. It's been over 2 years. You stopped one day when I was standing on the corner trying to make some money. I remember it was raining and still you stopped and got out to talk to me. You asked how much it would take to get me out of the rain and I told you I was just trying to make $10 to get something to eat. I'll never forget you reached into your pocket, pulled out some money and gave me $60. You said it was supposed to rain for a few days and you didn't want me to have to be in it. I was shocked. To be honest, the minute you left, I headed straight to the liquor store. I intended to buy me a bottle, but before I got there, I kept thinking about how you was willing to get out in the rain to help me, and I never made it to buy that bottle. In fact, I stopped drinking that day. I bought me a hamburger and kept the rest in my pocket. With what I made that day and what was left of the money you gave me, I bought a bus ticket and came back home. I talked to my parents and told them I wanted to change, and they got me into rehab. I now have a good job, my own place, and a beautiful girlfriend named Kelly. I just wanted to say thank you for stopping that day. You changed my life. Here's my number. I would love to talk to you someday when you can. And then he left his number, and then you took a screenshot of that email, put it on Instagram, and then in your caption, you just wrote in all caps, "You never know." And you said you were always wondering what happened to him.
Right.
And then 2 years later, you got a follow-up. So piggyback off of this for me, if you will, Stephen, and just talk about what an encouragement it can be to stop and talk to someone one day and maybe help them out a little bit.
Well, people often ask me, I want to do something. I don't know what to do or how to do it, or I'm afraid. And I tell people, you know, it doesn't take an organization like I have behind me to change someone's life. What they want more than anything else is to not be invisible, to know that somebody cares. One of our hashtags, they do matter. That's really what they want more than anything else, more than money, more than anything you can give them. They just want to be noticed. God tells us we're to sow. That's what we're to do. And we're to leave the harvest up to Him. And that's kind of the way I approach every day. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sow. I'm going to let them know they matter. I'm going to let them know that somebody noticed, somebody cared. When I got that from Him, it was God saying, keep doing what you're doing. You may not know it. You may not see it. You may never see it, but it's working. And I tell people, give them 2 minutes of your time. Say hello. Introduce yourself. Look them in the eye and let them know that you care, because you never know. It may not happen then. It may not happen for 6 months. It may not happen for 6 years. But that one moment could be the moment that changes their life forever. And all you've done is what we're all called to do. And that's be kind to one another, to love one another, and to acknowledge that people matter.
Yes. I know sometimes it can be difficult if you maybe don't have money. If someone is on the corner and maybe your first instinct is to just stare straight ahead or look down because you don't want anything to be awkward. But let's say people don't have anything to donate at the moment. Isn't a wave or a smile or some form of acknowledgement?
It's incredible. And I think I may have told this story the first time, but I'll tell it real briefly again. I'd been out on the streets a couple of years and I stood on the same corner all the time. I would always wave when cars went by. And it was amazing the number of people that waved back and smiled back. It was even, I wouldn't say more amazing, more troubling, the number of people that avoided doing so. They would all of a sudden look the other direction. But I'll never forget, it was kind of role reversal this day. A pickup truck comes turning into the parking lot next to where I stood on that corner. And as it did, I waved and smiled. And it was a beat up old truck. The guy was driving pretty quick, pretty fast. And all of a sudden, when I waved and smiled, he slammed on his brakes and did a U-turn. And I thought, I hope he realizes I was just smiling and waving.
Yeah.
I wasn't doing something else. But he comes pulling up, and he rolls his window down. And this guy was rough looking, somebody you wouldn't want to meet in a dark alley looking. And he looked at me and he said, "Don't ever stop smiling." And he said, "I was having the worst morning I've had in a long, long time." And he said, "I came around that corner and there you were with that beautiful smile of yours, and you were waving. And all of a sudden, I thought to myself, what am I complaining about? What am I feeling bad about? Look at him. He said, that smile made my day. And of course, he gave me $5 and he left. I would have never expected that.
Yeah, because it was reversal.
It was.
Yeah.
But that was a lesson that I learned that day that I have kept with me ever since.
And yeah, your smile could simply change someone's day.
And it's not just people on the corner.
Anybody listening right now, the clerk at the grocery store,
exactly.
The stranger you're walking by on the sidewalk. And
right.
I mean, granted, we have been in masks for quite some time now, but now those are starting to go away so we can start smiling at strangers. Again, I gave my first high five to a stranger the other day. Felt good. I hadn't done that since. I mean, I know with your world, we were talking about this and COVID didn't interrupt your work and your mission. If anything, more people were left without somewhere to live or somewhere to go. And there was more insecurities than ever when it comes to living and food and all the things. And so while some people were kind of on lockdown, like things really picked up for you and you didn't let that stop you. You were like, oh, COVID, I'm just going to, you know, leave my friends out there and they're just going to have to figure it out. No, you were still out there doing it.
I couldn't do that. And I wasn't alone. I had the most amazing team behind me and none of them walked away. None of them said, I'm not comfortable. I told them, I said, I would completely and totally understand if you said, Stephen, I'm just not comfortable. That was never an issue. That was never a discussion. Every week, week in and week out. And we had to because other organizations backed way off. A lot of places where they could go to get food, to get clothing, to get that kind of assistance were shut down. The number of organizations that were operating in the field scaled way, way back or scaled all the way back. I couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
I feel like, yes, when you say these are your friends, like you know everyone out there on such an intimate level. And then there was more and more people entering that space as well. And you too know what it's like to be in that position. And I would say if we drove around, everyone would know who you were, right? Like if we went from, you know, different parts of Nashville, every homeless person would be like, oh yeah, there's my buddy, Stephen, what up?
Stephen.
Yes. Yeah. So, or you would know their name and you work, on such an intimate level that, yeah, in your heart and your brain, there was no, you're like, no. I have to keep going.
You have to be at that level if you want to change lives. Having lived it, having known what that existence is all about, I didn't start Home Street Home just to make sure that they were okay. I started it because I was blessed and fortunate enough to be one of the lucky ones to be able to walk off the streets.
Yeah, and we have the email from Mitch that it took you 2 years to ever find out if what happened with him. And I mean, obviously, since it's what you do, and not that you always have $60 on you or whatever, but you realize the weather, the situation, and you're like, look, you got to go do this. And I love that he fully intended to go buy a bottle, but something stopped him. That something was you. The Lord used you.
That was the most rewarding part of it.
Yeah.
Was that. Had he gone and bought that bottle, and this is where people's heads are going to start spinning when I say this, it wouldn't have bothered me.
Me neither.
I wouldn't have got upset. I wouldn't have got mad at him. I wouldn't have been disappointed. I didn't do it expecting him to do anything but get out of the rain. And I would love, again, to take credit for being this magnanimous person with this huge heart. But the reason I did that, the reason I do a lot of things is because someone did it for me. In my case, it was the dead of winter. I was sicker than a dog, but I was still standing on the corner. And this guy pulled up in his pickup truck, company pickup truck. He owned a construction company. And he bought a paper from me. And he said, man, you look horrible. I said, well, I got a little bit of a cold. He says, no, you got more than a cold. He said, come on, let me buy you a cup of coffee. I said, okay. I got in his truck. And it was funny because we pulled out and where I stood, there was a McDonald's right there. And I thought, we're just going to go over here to McDonald's and get a cup of coffee. Well, no, he pulled out onto Nolensville Road, and he's driving down the road. And he says, how well do you do out there? I said, well, you know, on a good day, I can make this much. You know, some days I only make this much. I said, but I average about this much. He said, oh, well, the next thing I know, we're pulling into a bank parking lot. And I'm thinking, what's going on? He said, I've got to take care of some business. He said, but they have coffee. Come on in, get you a cup. He asked those questions to find out what he wanted to find out. while I was fixing myself a cup of coffee, he was getting money out of his bank account. And he walked over and he said, "Here's, according to what you told me, a full week's worth of pay, so to speak, for you." And he said, "I put some extra so you can go to Walgreens and get something for that cold." Mm. He said, "Take the week off. Get better." I never forgot that.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I have goosebumps.
And so every day I do my best to be worthy of the kindness that was shown me when I was on the streets. Now, as we spoke before, there's a lot of unkind that happens when you're homeless. But I don't want to dwell on that. I want to dwell on the kindness. And I want to be worthy of that kindness. And so that's my goal each and every day when I wake up and put my shoes on, is to be worthy of first God's love and blessings, even though we can never achieve that. I'm going to try to be worthy and to always do for my friends that are still unfortunate enough to call the streets home, to do for them what others did for me when I was out there. And that's what keeps me going. That's what gets me up in the morning. And even at my age, 65, I never thought I would make it to 65.
But here you are.
Here I am.
And you're making such a difference. And in this thing, I just wanted to use you as an example of that encouragement for people to do whatever that act of kindness is, similar to what you did for Mitch. And it might be money, it might be food, it might be a smile.
And the important thing is, and what I want people to take away from that email is this. If you'll notice by what he said, it wasn't about the $60.
Right.
It was about what? What changed his mind? What kept him from going to that liquor store? What caused him to go out the next day, go to work, get enough money, take a bus back home, go to his parents and say, "I want to change my life."
Because of you, he felt seen, that he mattered, and you took the time.
But he mattered because, as he put it, "I couldn't believe you got out in the rain."
Mm.
I could not have given him a penny.
Right, but you got out in the rain. You showed him.
I truly believe.
Even if you hadn't given the money.
Even if I hadn't given him a penny.
And, you know, people might not always have rain as the scenario, but I think whatever it is to make someone else feel as though they matter, that's an important thing to make sure that we highlight here, is that, it's not about the money. Because for some people listening, they don't have the resources themselves, but we all have smiles. And we all have smiles are free.
2 or 3 minutes of your time.
And words are free.
Words are free.
Mm-hmm.
And we all, no matter where we are in life right now, I'm very blessed. Some people would consider me extremely successful at what I do, but I still love knowing somebody cares about me, somebody that I matter to somebody, and more so when it's a stranger. And I get it because you've seen my pickup truck. Everybody knows just by looking at the pickup truck that I'm with Home Street Home. And I've walked into parking lots and people be sitting there waiting for me to get to the truck. "Are you Stephen?" "Yes, I am. I just want you to know, God bless you for what you're doing." I'm not going to lie. That's like saying amen to a Southern Baptist preacher or sick 'em to a hunting dog. I get fired up all over again. Everybody wants it. But more importantly, everybody deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
No matter where your walk in life has taken you. And if you think I deserve it, get the book, read The Walks I Took. Not so pretty.
Yeah, and I want to get into your book, so we'll do that next.
Second thing.
All right, Stephen, let's talk about the title of your book, From Chains to Change, One Man's Journey from God-Hater to God-Follower. Okay, so let's break down From Chains to Change.
My childhood wasn't pretty. And I'm not going to get into great detail. Let's just say there was a lot of abuse. There was some sexual abuse that I suffered through. And basically from early on in my life, I was chained. I was a captive to fear, anger, sadness, hurt, pain, all of those things. They're all like a chain. All of those negative emotions that we ascertain as we grow up and as we go through life. Each becomes like a chain, and those chains start to wear you down, and they start to inhibit you, and they start to be, for lack of a better word, a pathway that you haven't chosen. It's kind of been chosen for you, And so you get weighed down. You lose the ability to think outside the box, to experience happiness, joy, all those things that we love to experience. So I had a lot of chains. And through my own choices as I grew older, I just kept adding link after link after link. And those chains got heavier, burdensome. They really kept me from enjoying anything. I became a captive, but I was the person that was imprisoning me.
So you touched on this last time you were on the podcast too, but one of the chapters in your book is titled A Slave to Guilt. And how were you a slave to guilt? Like, what does that mean to you? I assume that's in reference to some of the chains.
Yes, we all experience guilt. Sometimes we do something, we know it's wrong, we know it's bad, we feel guilty. Sometimes we feel guilty about things, and it took me a long time to understand this and a whole lot of therapy. We feel guilty about things that we had no control over. There came a point in my life where I was off the chain, so to speak. I was as far off track as you could get. I went down some very dark roads, and there was a part of me that people would see, and they would meet me and they'd sit there and go, well, he don't give a damn about nothing. And as I say in the book, I said, I went down the road called I don't give a damn. There was always that guilt. And a lot of what happened to me, I had no control over. But for years, I thought it was my fault.
Well, yeah. And as you explained, I know we keep referencing the last episode, so we'll give a little bit of the backstory. But like, you did have some things happen to you when you were a child, and you tried to tell your parents about it, and right. People didn't believe you.
No.
Or basically, they're like, okay, yeah, no, we're never going to speak of that again.
Right.
And so then as a child, yeah, that wasn't on you, but then suddenly you feel the weight of it.
Mm-hmm. And that began to grow as I grew.
And it manifests into other things and other things and piles on. Yeah.
So it literally was a situation that I couldn't see good anymore when I looked in the mirror. There was nothing redeeming. I began to believe what my parents told me when I was 12 years old, what they told me when I was 8 years old, what they told me when I was 16 years old, that I wasn't nothing, never would be nothing. I began to believe what, as I went into my adult life, well, he's just this, he's just that. I started to believe all that. I put on a front that made people think, and he just don't care. You know, he thinks this, he thinks that. Well, that guilt never left me. Those chains just kept getting heavier and heavier and heavier. And then it got to a point where, why bother? Nobody's ever going to believe me.
Yeah, being a slave to it, what did that do to your self-esteem?
It made me quit caring, period. It made me end up going through 4 marriages. It made me become totally estranged from my family in a lot of ways. It made me wake up every day, and it was all about that day because the future didn't exist. I just existed in the here and now, and I was too afraid at times to be anything else but that, to just exist. Because every time I tried to do more, it seemed like it came back to slap me in the face.
Well, I know you had a lot of anger towards God during that season because of that.
I blamed him for everything.
Everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to quote something you wrote in the book. You said, with God's help, I could have set my compass towards love, not hate, forgiveness, not resentment, confession, not deceit. You were able to implement that later.
Later.
Later. So it took all of this. And is that something where you see now, you look at like the path that you were on, and it's like, okay. And some people would be like, oh, wow, okay, too. It even led to you being homeless for 5 years. But would you go back and change any of it?
Not a thing. I tell people all the time, I wouldn't want anybody to have to go through what I went through to end up where I'm at today. But I would do it all over again to be where I am today in my relationship with God, in my relationship with the family I do have left, in my relationship with my wife, in my relationship with my friends on the streets.
With people
in general. You know, I'm on the board of directors at our church. Who ever thought that, not me, I can guarantee you, I never thought a church would approach me and say, hey, we want you to be on our lead team and on our board of directors. And they knew everything there was to know about me. So no, I wouldn't want anybody to experience it. But I can tell you that in the little over 8 some odd years now since that fateful night, Christmas Eve of 2013, I have lived a life I could have never imagined, I could have never dreamed of. And if it was to all, if God was to call me home tomorrow, I would honestly want people to say, he lived a good life. Don't qualify it. Don't say, well, for the first 50 some odd years, it was this, but the last few years, it was this. No, those last few years made those 52 plus years not relevant. I have lived a good life, a very good life. I have no regrets. I have no animosity. I hold no grudges. And I don't have any chains rattling.
How did forgiveness play a role in this healing, in the breaking of the chains?
You can't do it without it. But the first person I had to forgive was myself. It's very difficult because I went back to the unworthy part. I'd gotten to a point where I didn't feel like I was worthy of anyone forgiving me. How could I forgive myself? And that was another major point in my life where God said, Stephen, I forgave you. I forgave you. So obviously you are worthy, and we all are. And all of those things that you just read, I have since learned.
Oh, for your compass being
yes.
towards love, not yes. hate, towards forgiveness, not resentment, yes. and then towards confession, not deceit.
And it took some
work.
Tough moments.
Yeah.
I remember visiting my mother and father's grave for the first time and spending almost 4 hours in that cemetery. And the emotions that ran through me. I screamed, I yelled, I begged, I cried, I forgave, and I asked for forgiveness. That's another thing people don't understand. Based on what you've told me, why did you ask them to forgive you? The same reason I visited the cemetery where that man was buried. I never lost track of him, and I knew when he passed away, and I knew where he was buried. And when I left our family cemetery that afternoon, after coming to grips and coming to terms with my childhood and my parents and that aspect of it, I headed to the cemetery he was buried at. And I stood at that grave. And again, I screamed, I cussed, I cried, I asked why. And then I told him I forgave him. And I asked for forgiveness. And I have had several go, why would you ask the man that molested you? And I said, it's very simple. I allowed my parents to convince me to keep my mouth shut. And I was 52 years of age before I told anyone other than my two parents. Had I spoke up, had I not kept my mouth shut, maybe he could have gotten the help he needed. Maybe he wouldn't have done it to anyone else, because I can promise you I wasn't the last. And that's another chain that I carried with me for a lot of years.
What's your hope in this book being out there? Why are you telling so much of your story and putting this book out there?
My hope is that if it just reaches one person, this isn't being done for money. I'm not making a penny off of this book. Neither is Eric Wilson. And Eric, he was the writer of Fireproof and Facing the Giants. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's my co-writer on this book. He's not getting paid a penny. I'm not getting paid a penny. All the money that's earned through the sales of the book is going straight to the ministry.
I had linked it on my Amazon page, but now I want to send people directly to Home Street Home TN, which stands for Tennessee. So homestreethometn.org,
right,
and purchase the book directly from there, because then you take out the middleman and more of the money can go directly to Home Street Home Ministries.
And I will find out when this is going to air. And starting that day, I will keep track. And the first 100 people to buy a book, they will get an autographed copy.
Oh, nice.
Of the book. It'll be released sometime in August.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the first 100 people that go on after this is aired, because I know they're all going to come from you, because your audience loves you just like I do, I will send them an autographed copy. But that's it. I want somebody that's sitting in the darkness I sat in to realize there is light. All they have to do is be willing and strong enough to step into it. If there's only one, this has been worth the almost 2 years that Eric and I have put into it, bringing this book to life. And I can tell you, I didn't want to do it. Eric started in on me almost 3 years ago, and I said, no. A, who would read it? I'm a nobody. Who cares? But he kept on, and he kept on, and he kept on. And I can tell you, it wasn't easy. I had to open some doors I didn't want to open. I had to go back down some dark roads I didn't want to go back down, but I'm glad I did. And like I said, I pray that someone can read it and realize what I realized a few years back. You are never too far gone for God, ever.
I know you just shared your hope for the book, but you offer so much hope to so many people. And so I know this book is for people that maybe just want to support your ministry. That would be awesome. Or if they've ever gone through something that there's a lot of shame and guilt and confusion and hatred all associated with it, that they can feel, you know, one reason why I do this podcast is so people don't feel alone.
Right.
But we've all gone through different things, so it's not like you can relate specifically. But yeah, I mean, similar to you, like if there's one episode that helps one person, right? And so you put out this book, if it helps one person not feel alone with something that they've been through,
mm-hmm.
and that they can see how far off track you were and that you were able to rein it back in to a life that you never could have dreamed of.
No.
There's so much hope in that. So I just want to thank you for putting your story. I'm glad that he convinced you to write the book, and I'm thankful that you put your story.
And I will tell you, it's raw. We have not held anything back. This isn't a warm, fuzzy, feel-good book. It's real. It has an awesome ending, which is still being written.
Yeah, that's cool.
But I didn't hold anything back. And it's real. It's gritty. That's the only way I knew how to tell my story. I didn't sugarcoat nothing. I own everything.
Well, your transparency will definitely help a lot of people. So you can buy the book on the website, but then you can also donate directly to the ministry through the website and even choose how your money is going to be spent. There's different categories you could choose from so you can know how your money is being put to work, or if you just want to trust Stephen with it, that's an option too, because he knows where the needs are. And speaking of that, I want to get into in the next thing, like needs for the summer.
Okay.
Like if people want to keep things in their car,
right?
For people, like what's good for the summertime as things really heat up across the country. So we'll
awesome.
Do that next. Right. So a lot of us are guilty of doing that whole last minute shopping thing when it comes to holidays, like Mother's Day. You might be in that position right now, and that makes it challenging to find a great gift for mom. But don't worry, Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day. So whether the mom in your life is a fashionista or maybe even a photographer or a fanatic about yoga, Macy's Gift Finder has got so many great gift ideas to make her feel special. Now, Mother's Day is May 12th, so make sure you make note of that. Don't have much time. That's okay. Macy's has got you covered. And you can shop by price, $25 and under or $100 and under. You can shop by category, fragrances, handbags, and more. Or they've got gift lists, like for the mom who has everything, gifts that are already wrapped and ready to be gifted, or gifts for grandma. Top gifts include Beats headphones, digital photo frame, Polaroid camera. That would be so awesome to receive. Or my personal favorite, man, I would love to get this as a gift, Samsung Smart TV, the frame. Go to Macy's.com/giftfinder. Again, it's pretty easy. Just head on over to Macy's.com/giftfinder for the perfect inspiration for Mother's Day. Hey, it's Amy here to talk about the incredible work being done by St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and ask you today to join me in becoming a partner in hope. When you make a donation to St. Jude, you're helping an organization that has helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And I can tell you from personal experience, that number and the hope that it brings is invaluable. What they are doing at St. Jude is making a huge difference. It is full of joy there, which a lot of families need at that time. They don't need to be worrying about travel, lodging, food, everything is paid for at St. Jude so that families can focus on their child that has cancer. Your support means families never receive a bill from St. Jude. It's only $19 a month, and when you sign up, you'll get the new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. Join me in helping St. Jude in the fight against childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org. I don't want to waste my time taking vitamins that aren't really going to do much for me. Like, I want research. I want to know, like, hey, this is actually doing something for my body. And Ritual knows this. That's why they conducted the research. They've done clinical trials on their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin. The results? Well, it increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. And as a woman, I want healthy vitamin D levels and omega-3 levels. And all I got to do is take my Ritual Essential for Women 18 Plus Multivitamin every morning. I take them on an empty stomach, but sometimes if I forget, I may take them in the afternoon. It's really up to you when you want to take them. There's 9 key nutrients in 2 delayed release capsules. And what the delayed release capsules does for us is it optimizes our body's absorption of these nutrients. It's gentle on the empty stomach. Like I said, I can take it first thing in the morning and I'm totally fine. And with a minty essence in every bottle, it actually makes taking your vitamins enjoyable. No more shady business. Ritual is essential for women. 18 Plus is a multivitamin that you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/4things. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/4things for 25% off. All right, so I've been saving on shopping this year by only buying new clothes when I've sold some clothes that I no longer wear. And what this has done is it's forced me to be super wise when I'm adding clothes back into my closet. I want to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune, and that's where Quince comes into play. You can go see for yourself all the awesome stuff they have, especially for summer right now, like European linen dresses and blouses and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, 14-karat gold jewelry, so much more. And if you're like me, you're like, this just seems too good to be true. Well, what Quince does is they partner directly with top factories and they cut out the cost of the middleman and they pass the savings on to us. So we are getting things for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. For example, I'm literally looking on their website right now at this open knit cover up maxi dress that'll be great for the summer, 100% organic cotton, and it's $49.90. It could retail for $148, so that's 66% savings. And with warm weather here, you need to check out Quince. All you got to do is go to quince.com/Amy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince.com/Amy. You're going to get free shipping. Again, 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Amy. Here we go. So I'm pretty sure last time you were on, it was maybe winter time or we were approaching the winter and we maybe talked about stuff that's good to keep in your car for the winter or if people wanted to make little bags that yes, they could pass out to their homeless friends and their community. What's the deal with summertime? Because weather changes and needs are totally different. And some places it gets really hot.
It really, really does. And, you know, we discussed this before. Once it turns cold, all of a sudden people are coming out of the proverbial woodwork and their focus is on the homeless. Oh, it's cold. You know, they're going to freeze to death. They need to stay warm. They need to do this. They need to do that. We lose more lives or as many, and in a lot of cases, more lives in the warmer months of the year than we do over winter within the homeless community. Because, yes, hypothermia is a serious issue. Frostbite is a serious issue. But so is heat stroke. So is dehydration. They're just as fatal. So on the top of your list, water, water, water. My wife carries around a container in the backseat of her car. And depending on the time of year is what's in that container. But for summertime, and some people are going to go, wow, I didn't think about that. Water, water, water.
Got the water, 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 the water, water part. Water, so water, hydration's important.
Hydration is important. Chapstick, sunscreen. Insect repellent. Insect repellent is big, a lot bigger than you might think, because a lot of insect bites can get infected and can become a real serious health issue because they don't have access to the things you and I have access to if they get bit and they, let's say it's a mosquito and they scratch it and it gets infected. They don't have a medicine cabinet sitting in their, right, in their bathroom. So insect repellent, wet wipes. We can take a shower every day. They can't. And I used to tell people it was easier for me to survive winter than it was to survive summer because I could stay warm enough. I could layer on and layer on and layer on. When those temperatures start hitting the high 80s to the low to mid 90s and the humidity is 90-something degrees or 90-something percent, sleep is almost impossible. It's so miserable. The insects, all of that, it's just miserable. So having wet wipes to be able to refresh yourself, wipe your face, ball caps. You can buy ball caps at Dollar General or Walmart or someplace like that for a couple of bucks. It keeps shade on their face. And try to buy the mesh so the heat can still escape off the top, what they call trucker's hats, I think. But those things are all important. And protein bars, and that's year-round, but especially in summer, because when it's real hot, they don't eat like they do in the winter, which means they're not getting the protein that they normally get. Because in the winter, it's cold. You know, they're going to heat up that chili. They're going to eat in the summer. Because I know when I've been out all day doing what I do, I walk through the door and Andy, my wife, looks at me and says, what do you want for dinner? And I go, I'm not hungry. It's the same for them. So those things, you can spend 10, 15 bucks a week and keep those items in your vehicle and literally change lives with a bottle of water or a can of bug spray or a tube of chapstick or a thing of sunscreen. It really, truly is that simple. Because here's what they think, here's how they feel when you take the time to pull over, roll that window down, and hand him a bottle of water, sunscreen, bug spray, whatever. They feel exactly the way my friend felt in that email you read earlier.
Mitch. Mm-hmm. They matter.
They matter.
Yeah. I'll recap the list real quick. And this might be something cool you can do with your kids to get them involved, is to make these packages or help when, if you're loading this stuff up in the car, make sure your kids know that it's there. We have a responsibility as parents to raise our kids to not be scared of certain people on the street or make them question, what is that? I mean, you can have honest conversations with your kids about it, but then show them, lead by example. This is how we're going to be kind to people and show them they matter, and talk to your kids about the water. Those are the first three things that you need in your summer care packages. Water, chapstick, sunscreen, bug repellent, wet wipes, ball caps, protein bars.
Right.
So those are the top items. And I'm sure that there's more.
And on the protein bars, soft. Because a lot of them have dental issues.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
So... not,
and then
the
maybe
crunchy ones.
Not like super chocolatey coated ones, because
no,
it's going to melt.
They're going to melt.
Yeah. So just keep that in mind when you're buying things. So that's
And let me
good
jump
advice.
Back on the kids.
Uh-huh.
I have people that reach out to us all the time and they'll go, Stephen, I have some young children, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. I would really like to get them involved, but I'm a little bit afraid. And I hear adults say, well, I want to help, but they're dangerous. And I think we spoke about this the first time I was on, but I hit it every time I speak, no matter where. Folks, I'm old school. Like I said, I turned 65, which means I'm one of those guys that still gets up and turns on the news every morning. And I hear about this robbery, this person getting shot, this person getting stabbed, this car getting jacked. All the things we hear in our city that happen every day. You know what I never hear? The suspect is a homeless person. They're more afraid of you than you are of them.
It's a good reminder.
You have nothing to fear.
When you can't, yeah, and to that, you never know what anybody is really like. It's just because they're homeless doesn't automatically put them into a category of you should be more scared. I mean, there are people in your own lives. You literally end up doing something that you're like, wait, what? So you just have to like go ahead and give people the opportunity to show you otherwise instead of prejudging them. We don't want to prejudge.
If you want to see an adult, a homeless adult, on their best behavior, have a child. And here's why. They love and respect children. Why? Because children have not already formed an opinion. Children are not judgmental. Children don't look at them funny. Children, when they put their hand out, the children don't go look at their hand to see if it's dirty. The children shake their hand. They know that when there's a child there, that child is there because that child cares and that child is sincere and that child doesn't have preconceived notions and that child is not judging them. They respect that. They appreciate that. And they will always, always be on their best behavior.
It's good to
which
know.
Is more than I can say for a lot of people I see sitting in restaurants when I go out to eat with my family. Just saying.
Good to know. Okay, next I want to get into gratitude.
Fourth thing with Amy Brown.
All right, well, I know you said earlier you wouldn't change a thing. So I know that you know how to be thankful for things for yes. sure. But what are you thankful for today? You want to just share with us four things real quick.
I'm thankful first and foremost for my God, who never gave up on me, even when I was blaming him for everything. I could not function. I would not be who I am today. I would not be doing what I'm doing today if it wasn't for him. So his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness, his love, that's always going to be number one on my list, always. Because I gave him every reason in the world to give up, and he never did. I gave up on him. He never gave up on me.
Second thing?
My wife, my family, they're my breath. They're my heartbeat.
I feel like you lit up when you said them. Yeah, I saw the twinkle in your eye.
Every day I get to spend with them is like Christmas. Every morning when I wake up and I see my wife there. I walk through that beautiful home she's made for us, my family. It's Christmas every day, every morning when I wake up. And everything I do throughout the day, I do trying to make them proud.
Third thing?
I guess it would be tacky if I said the Titans and Predators. But
no, not at all. They've been a huge support of what you have going on.
They really have been. No, the third thing would be my team, my outreach workers, that some have been with me for years. And years, they are the most unselfish, giving, kind, loving group of people I know. I could not do what I do without them, and I would not want to do what I do without them. And they make me look good. I don't make them look good. They make me look good. And I've never been around a group of people that have the hearts they have. And I'm humbled every day to be in their presence.
Love that. Fourth thing?
Fourth thing, my church. It is the church home I never thought I could find because of who I was and what I'd done. I had tried church later on in life when I was kind of trying to get back on the rails with God. It didn't work out so well. And I kind of thought, well, I'll never be accepted. And then one day I walked into a church that was meeting in a roller skating rink out in Rivergate. And the minute I walked in, I knew I was where God wanted me to be. And that was little over 6 years ago. It's been amazing. They're number four, and they are always there, even when I don't ask them to be. They show up unannounced, unexpectedly. When I had my stroke last Thanksgiving, the outpouring, and not only from them, but from you.
Well, yeah, we had a text chain about it. You
and
know,
the girls.
So I met Stephen through my friend April, who's on Instagram is April Tomlin Interiors. So some of you may follow her. If you're not, you should follow her for design inspo. But
yes.
She's how I met Stephen. And then so she's on there and there's a bunch of other girls. And yeah, the text started to go out about you. And we were all like, okay, what can we do? How can we help? So, of course, we were praying and then trying to make sure you were taken care of and had food and all the things.
And in my book, there's a dedication to the girls. And that's who we're speaking of. I call the group the girls. And I can promise you that if we went to five, this would probably would be 4A, and that would be you and April and Taylan and, you know, the list at Lauren, the list goes on and on and on. God put a very special group of ladies in my life. I am thankful each and every day for y'all. And you have changed not only my life, and I don't think any of you understand how much healing I've been able to do because of my association with all of y'all. And it's a large group of ladies. And I, like my team, I couldn't see me doing this without y'all, wouldn't want to do this without y'all. Your support behind our vision and what we do, I couldn't count the number of lives you've touched, changed, and blessed. And I can tell you unequivocally, probably the hundreds that you've saved. All of you hold a very, very special place in my heart. And I'm so blessed.
Well, and I just want to say a thank you to listeners that have been on this journey the last couple of years and maybe even bought something Pimpin' Joy because they knew that it was going to benefit Home Street Home Ministries. And we diversify our giving, but there's been specific campaigns where we've been fundraising for you mm-hmm. and your organization. And listeners have shown up and bought, and you know we've been a part of helping out with whatever the girls have going on, and Pimpin' Joy's been able to do that, and we're only able to do that because our listeners come through and they shop and they they represent and they help support us in that way so that we can in turn support what you're doing. So just want to like and extend your thank you to listeners too, and just the whole thing and how everybody works together to make it possible. So thank you, Stephen, for coming on to the podcast again, and congratulations on your book.
Thank you.
From Chains to Change, One Man's Journey from God Hater to God Follower. And don't forget, it is on my Amazon page, but we want to encourage you to go to homestreethometn.org and buy it there, because the organization will get more money that way. homestreethometn.org. And on Instagram, you can follow them or find out more information at homestreethome_TN. And Stephen runs that account. So and you'll see cool things like the story that I told about Mitch. That email was something I saw you post on Instagram, and I just loved it so much that I wanted to share it here. So thank you, Stephen. And thank you to everyone that listened to today's episode. Summer. The best time of the year usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there was another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. At IKEA, everyone can have lounge chair access. No reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, they have all of the essentials that you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget. All right, this show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth that no matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can really make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through things. Now, BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com. BetterHelp.com. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, well, just go to tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hey, it's Amy here to talk about St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. For 60 years, St. Jude doctors and researchers have helped push the overall childhood cancer survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. And we need your help getting that number to 100%. And most important, your support means that families never receive a bill from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, or food. That peace of mind means so, so much for these families. So join me in helping St. Jude in this fight. Become a partner in hope at musicgives.org. That's musicgives.org.